Joining us on the Home Run In Pizza Hotline is the voice of the Iowa Cubs, Dean Ellis, joins us on the Score. Good morning, Dean. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great. Was that went to bed or wet the bed?
I think went to bed.
Went to bed. I did not wet the bed, but I've been known to do that. But I quit drinking a little while back, so I haven't had that issue since. You know, some optimism. My partner is dancing today over the arrival of Rizzo, but there is some guardedness in Cubs land because of recent failures. And I guess not even recent failures, going way back, prospects who just didn't get it done. Where are you at on Anthony Rizzo?
I guess I'm on the fence, and part of it is, too, is he had, you know, a chance last season with San Diego and didn't do very well. So hopefully as he's made some adjustments this offseason, the results will be better. But, again, I've been around the Cubs long enough where I remember the Heesop Choi and Corey Patterson and Felix P.A. are probably three pretty highly touted guys that, you know, they have the potential to be all-stars and they did well in the minor leagues, and it just didn't work out at the big league level.
We'll see. This is a guy who is handpicked by Theo Epstein, Jed Hoyer, Jason McLeod in Boston. Then two of them go to San Diego and immediately target four and trade for him in San Diego. And then those three, the Beatles of the front office, as Mac, I think it was a David Schuster who called him that. When they're reunited here, they immediately target him from San Diego and get him back. So they've chased him now for three different organizations, and they wonder if he's different. I don't know, Dean. Last year when he was up for a short time in San Diego, he was awful. Absolutely awful. And there's different reasons for why that might have happened. You know, how can you tell if a guy is one of those 4A players? That's what a lot of the cynics will say about him, is that he's a great minor league player, but he'll fail at the big league level. I think it's way too early to tell, but how could you tell historically if somebody is that, if it exists?
I think, you know, in his case, he put up just overwhelming numbers, not only for the power, he hit a lot of home runs and drove in runs, but the batting average, you know, we're talking 350, 360, and he avoided the slump. Sometimes when they have that hole in the swing, they'll exploit that, and you'll see those 0 for 18 or 2 for 22 stretches, and that just didn't happen with Anthony. So I think he has the talent to be a good big league player and has the potential to be an all-star up there. And again, it's just a whole new world when you're in the big leagues and there's that added pressure. And, you know, he's kind of the guy who's going to save the franchise. I think a lot of people look at it that way, and that's not the case. It's more than one guy, and he's going to have that pressure initially, and everybody been waiting on him for all of this season. So it's a lot of pressure, and I just hope he can relax and let his talent take over, because he is very good.
Hey, Dean, he's been dominant there playing for your ball club, and the numbers have been outrageous. How have people gotten him out? At the big league level last year in San Diego, low and inside. Often happens to a lefty power hitter, right? I mean, that's where they were getting him out last year. What have you seen?
We've seen the exact same thing. We've had a series, ironic, with minor league baseball, where we played the same team 8 games in a row, Round Rock. We wrap up that series today. So Anthony faced them 7 straight games, and he's been hitless in 5 of his last 6 games. He only played 4 innings yesterday, 2 at-bats, and came out. And the last ball he hit, he did crush, and the wind knocked it down, or it would have been probably a 400-foot home run. But as you say, they've worked him inside. Some soft stuff away, breaking stuff away, and then they'll pound him in. And if you have a good breaking ball, you get ahead, and then you work it, I think they can get him out. But you've really got to work at it, because if you make a mistake, he can hit it a long ways. But again, with big league pitching, he's going to run into better guys up there, and certain left-handers have pitched him tough, you know, forced him to try to go the other way with good breaking stuff. And if he's in the lineup tomorrow, he'll face a good one with Nice of the Mets.
Dean, after the disappointment with the Padres big league club last year, and the 3 months in AAA, almost 3 months this year, what did that do for him between the years to get himself better prepared?
I think it was a great wake-up call, because he found out that, you know, he had some adjustments to make to really be successful up there, as he was in the minor leagues at Tucson last season. So, and he worked hard. I think he did some minor things in the offseason with his swing, and he's very coachable. He works every day with our hitting coach down here, Dave Keller, and when James Rousen was in town for about 10-day period early in the season, he worked with him. So he's familiar with him, the new hitting coach at Chicago. So I think that's his greatest asset, is his work ethic and his ability to make some adjustments, because you have to do that, and in some cases almost day to day at the big league level.
Does he take a lot of pitches? What's the approach like as you watch him? Is he a guy who will work the count a little bit, or does he pounce on a fastball early if he gets a good one?
I'd put him more in the category of a guy who works the count. He'll draw some walks, and he's not afraid to, you know, take a couple of pitches and maybe fall behind, and you know, a good two-strike hitter. So I think he's a guy that fits into the, you know, the new concept, the new regime of working the count, drawing some walks, and building up the pitch counts for the opposing pitchers.
In what we do, Dean, we're always looking for interesting characters, and the Cubs are not exactly deep in that department. We've got Jeff Samardzija, who's a delightful flake. What's Anthony Rizzo like off the field?
He's a really good-natured kid. He gets along really well with his teammates, and he just has a lot of fun playing the game. He works really hard. He has a routine every day in batting practice, not only hitting, but he'll hustle out to first base, take a number of ground balls out there, and he's got a very good arm, so he likes to fire the ball around. And he's a little vocal. He'll, you know, talk to his teammates and joke and kid around. Although in the big leagues, I'm sure he'll be quiet, especially the first few months of his first season. But I think he's very personable and gets along with everybody and will be a good teammate and one of those good clubhouse guys, as they say in baseball.
You know, Dean, all the talk has been them wanting to do the right thing and wait till he was ready. They obviously waited until after the Super 2 status would be so they get an extra year of salary protection on the back end, and we understand that. But did they wait too long, or have they waited long enough? Like, has there been a portion here where Rizzo's just been ready to go and bursting at the seams and wanting to get out of there? Or do you think it's been a good long run here at Iowa?
I think they have waited too long. I think that's what happened these last 10 days, where finally all the pressure and all the phone calls and text messages that he would get about, hey, when are you going up? Whether it's his, you know, someone in his family or his friends are always calling or emailing, wondering what's going on. Or we heard this, we heard that. And I think within the last 10 days, he's been more than ready to go up and he still goes out and plays the game hard, but it's very tough, I think, to concentrate when you're just getting all that pressure to when are you going to get to the big leagues, and this is what we heard and that. So I think it has gotten to him. I thought, you know, when they talked about taking him up for that Twins series, maybe let him DH or slowly get him into the lineup, that would have been a good time. But again, as you said, it comes down to that free agency, and I can understand the business aspect, and, you know, the team doesn't need him right now for a pennant race. So I guess in the long run, they've done the right thing.
What do you think of some of the other guys who are there that people would like to get excited about, they just don't know? Josh Vitters has been, boy, since being a top 10 pick, maybe a top 5 pick, I think, in the draft a few years back. People have been waiting on him. Let me ask you about him first. He's had a decent run over the last month or two, right?
He has. He had a fairly slow start, but the last 6 weeks he's been really strong. And in fact, he's our new number 3 hitter today. The lineup has Josh Vitters hitting third, and Blake DeWitt is the cleanup hitter today, and Blake Lolley at first base. He's taken over for Anthony Rizzo in batting fifth. But Vitters is doing pretty well. I think his weakness right now is defense. He still needs to improve defensively. At times he'll throw balls away, and on the routine plays, again, the old thing of the routine play and too much time to throw at the first base, and, you know, he'll overthrow a guy like Anthony, who was 6'3". So I think he'll be here, I would think, all season, maybe a September call-up. But he's only 22 years old. I think he was the third player drafted. Moustakas went right before him, and, you know, he's in the big leagues. But again, Vitters is only 22, and they've got a hole at third base in Chicago in the big picture there, I guess you could say. And so Josh, he's been hitting for power, and he's coming along. I think he's made progress year by year in this system.
And Brett Jackson?
Yeah, Brett Jackson's the other big name here, and he's just striking out way too much. He's well over 100 strikeouts and just too many swings and misses, and I don't know if they've solved that problem. It's not like it's one certain pitch or one certain location. I've seen guys at 88, 89 mile-per-hour fastballs that have struck him out, so he just struggles at time with the swing and the miss, and hopefully he can overcome that, because, man, he's got really good power. He can hit 30 home runs in the big leagues if he could make more contact, and has great speed and pretty good in the outfield, and he's a good clubhouse guy too. He's got a good demeanor, and it's just a matter of he's just striking out way too much.
So, you know, forgive us for giggling earlier when you mentioned who's hitting number 5, but such is the life of a AAA broadcaster. You look down and you get guys to really check out and be interested in, like Jackson and Vitters and Rizzo, and then you get Blake DeWitt. You know, I mean, it's like, if there's who else is on that roster? There's some some retread guys trying to stick around and fight their way back up to the big leagues too, right?
Always the case. They signed, you might remember, Mike McDougall, former White Sox reliever, former All-Star. He's had some very good seasons in the big leagues, but he's been here, and I thought that was a pretty good signing because he had a good season with the Dodgers last year, but he's really been erratic up and down. He looked good for a couple of games and then give up like 2, 3, 4 runs in one inning, so he's been inconsistent, but you know, he and they've definitely have gone out and signed a lot of people like that this offseason. So you're exactly right. Ryan Roland-Smith is a lefty on this team, that an Australian that's been around for a while, and you never know with those guys. You know, Frankie De La Cruz is our starting pitcher today, and he's only 28 years old, but it seems like he's been around for a long time. But you never know when these guys will put it together and you know, get to the big leagues and help the team. Look at you know, Camp is one of the best relievers that the Cubs have this season.
Dean, thanks a bunch for the visit. We enjoyed it. Have a great day.
Thanks, guys. Anytime.